This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Valentine's Day is as important for wine, champagne, and fancy cocktails, perhaps, as it is for chocolate, dessert, and an early restaurant reservation. It's a great time to have wine expert Rick Cushman back in the studio with us, and he is here. Hi, Rick.
Happy early Valentine's Day, Beth.
So January was dry January for a lot of people. It was really popular. I wonder if we're going to have a pendulum swing this week to a super bubbly Valentine's Day.
Well, there's probably a lot of people waiting for it. And oddly enough, for those who went to dry January, there's a lot of studies that show that if you haven't been drinking regularly, you know, not regularly crazy, but moderately, that your body's ability to process alcohol has been weakened or at that point of that you will get drunk faster. Actually, that's the warning. So if, you know, if you're coming off your dry January, you're planning to splurge, eat first.
It works better.
I sound like a school marm from the old West when I say
it
that.
It works better when you give everybody the direct language, though, so we know exactly what we're dealing with. And I always count on Valentine's Day and that coming from you. But before we get deep into this conversation, there is something happening with wine sales across the country. It's not just because of dry January.
Yeah, and actually, Unified Wine and Grape Symposium, which is the largest wine and trade show in the Western Hemisphere, was just here last week. And, you know, and there was a lot of state of the industry stories before that and all kinds of things. And what we've found is this has been pretty consistent, is that wine sales are they were up at their lowest rate ever in 25 years. So wine sales have really slowed. And there's lots of reasons for it. And they're having to do with, one, how wine markets itself. And you've heard me complain over and over about this elitism that, you know, wine is for a very special thing and for very special people. And it, of course, it shouldn't be, you know, but so younger people are not drinking wine, but then younger people are not drinking as much beer either, you know, and there's other things that are out there. There's kombucha, hard seltzer is crazy at the moment, but, it, you know, or in terms of growth, but, you know, coming off of almost nothing, so the growth numbers are big. But so what, one of the things that we've seen with wine is that it's kind of reaching a point where its main drinkers, the baby boomers, are kind of aging out of drinking a lot or spending a lot on wine. And the younger folk are not drinking as much wine or spending as much on wine. And the wine industry had sort of been betting on, you know, the prices rising on what they've been calling premiumization, because for a few years there, people were all moving up, but they sort of tapped out. And so value-wise, volume-wise, all those sorts of things, wine is not doing all that well.
Do we have climate change, wildfire issues too?
Well, those are things, other things too. One other point on that sort of is that to add to that is that they were at Unified, they were just, wine industry was just told that to balance out, because we have a grape glut right now. And the reason is because, and this goes to climate change, which is that the last handful of years were relatively warm, which made for relatively large yields. And so, you know, there was, you know, basically growing seasons were even and warm and steady. And so they got very good yields. And so they've got a fairly large grape glut right now. And in fact, they were told, the Growers Association, that Allied Grape Growers, that sort of oversees all this in California and in the U.S., suggested that they rip out 30,000 of the, I think it's 590,000 acres of grapes that are in California. 30,000 acres is, I think I wrote this down here. It's 47 square miles. That's, San Francisco's 49 square miles.
Wow.
So basically take out San Francisco size amount of grapevines out of California to get even. So that is partly a climate change thing. The industry in Northern California, certainly wildfires have been, well, Southern California too, have been an issue in a little bit in the production, but more in the tourists. Because in regions like Napa, although Napa is its own little animal because it's so expensive and so popular, but Sonoma and Mendocino and Lake County and in Southern California, places like Temecula, where they really live a good part off of the tourism too. And folks think that they're going, you know, from Northern California, that they're going to still go, but people that have been canceling trips, you know, because they don't want to go in what they think is either a devastated zone or a danger zone. Sonoma in particular had been hit. And we talked about this last year.
Always encouraging people to go explore and take your business over there.
And right now, so the regions are, especially now is a great time to go because it's winter, but the weather's good and all of those regions. So they've been hit by that too. And so there's a handful of things that are going on that is making it difficult for the wine business, and they're not responding particularly well.
Where do you think this is going to go?
Well, it's a really complicated question. As a consumer, what we won't see, they won't see a lot of difference in the supermarket wines, you know, and that's a pretty big range. Everything from that $5 and $6 Chardonnay to the $25 and $30, you know, Cab and Pinot that people buy relatively in supermarket style stores. The big brands will survive just fine. They'll have access to wine. They'll have they'll manage it. But the little folk, and not necessarily our foothill friends, because they're small enough and they're unique enough, and people go to them. You know, but the sort of the small mid-size independent wineries in all throughout California, whether not in Napa, but because there aren't really many small independent, but Sonoma and Mendocino and up the coast and Lake County and down in the Central Coast, those little folks are going to struggle, you know. And we haven't even talked about the tariffs, which can make life more complicated for them too, because distributors who make some of their money off of bringing in foreign wines, the small ones may be going out of business. So the little guys are going to struggle. So what that might mean for consumers is it might mean eventually higher prices, and maybe a little fewer of the sort of independent brands that they used to see maybe going away. And that's sort of the long run. The short run is, because of this grape glut, there's going to be some pretty good juice out there. So, you know, and you may be seeing, as you go to a restaurant, seeing a brand that you'd never heard of before, or even a Trader Joe's or a Nugget or a Safeway for that matter. And it may well be that one of the, you know, decent sized wineries is offloading their juice into a private brand, or, you know, the brand, the place themselves, like Costco's that make their own wine, may be getting some pretty good juice.
Let's hit two more topics in this. Number one, the tariffs.
Yeah.
And then number two, a little bit of Valentine's
Absolutely.
Day guidance.
Valentine's Day is still good.
So the 100% tariff on French wine is on hold, correct?
Yes, in theory. And probably. And that was a retaliatory tariff because the French have taxed some tech stuff going in. And it had people terrified because, you know, doubling the price would basically kill the market and kill a lot of small distributors. I have a friend who's a small distributor who brings in wine from France.
But that is already decreased. The imports have decreased.
Yes, because there was a 25% tariff, and that was the Airbus thing where the EU was taxing or giving preferential treatment to Airbus, and the U.S. said no anyway. So there's 25%. Tariffs since October. And that worked badly in a couple ways because it was imposed suddenly. And this is the fear. There's no warning. You know, they're talking about maybe, but that got imposed suddenly. So there was wine on boats that suddenly cost way more to bring in. And so the little guys really got hit. And 25%, they could eat that once, but you can't do it all the time. So the French wine imports are down. I just saw some numbers like 44% since October.
Wow.
And we drink a lot of French wine, especially on the East Coast. It affects us a little less here on the West, but we still drink a lot of French wine here too. So that part is roiling the industry as well.
All right. A minute of great advice for everybody for Valentine's Day.
Well, okay. Prepare to wait. Yeah, this is always a thing.
Wait,
right?
In the restaurant.
Yeah, in the restaurant. Yeah. You're going no matter what your reservation is, and make one if you haven't made it quickly. But that's okay. And then when you get to the table, take your time. Don't worry about other people waiting, because I just told you, prepare to wait. When you do have to wait, go to the bar, get a glass of bubbly. I always think that's just a great celebratory way to do it. Whatever kind of bubbly you like, you know, it could be Prosecco or Cava or a nice champagne or some sparkling from California. And then there's my other romantic hint. I only have one romantic tip, which is, and frankly, I don't even know if this works, but I tried it once, which is call the restaurant and order a glass of something sparkling for your date and have them deliver it to the table when you sit down. So, you know, that's you sit down, whether you're the male or the female in this in this relationship right now, is just have them show up with that little glass of wine. You sit
somebody's
down.
Somebody's going to be impressed.
And say, oh, we ordered this for you. Yeah. Or, you know, or if it's some, if you know your date likes something else, then make sure it's that wine too. But just have it sitting there waiting for them when they sit down and shows you're trying.
I love that. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
to you and Deborah.
Day.
Thanks so much. Glad to have you here, Rick.
Always a pleasure.
You can find a link to Rick's website, which links you to his podcast at capradio.org/insight. That's Insight for today. On tomorrow's show, we'll revisit a conversation with Ladysmith Black Mombazo. I'm Beth Ruyak. Another live show tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.